If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
And by the way, we are talking about superpowers. You know, the reason it came up was because in the Super Bowl, one of the commercials has got some aging rock stars who are, well, here's part of the ad.
Hey, corporate types, will you stop calling each other rock stars?
You're a rock star. You are a rock star.
Rock stars, please.
You know what it takes to be a rock star?
I've trashed hotel rooms in 43 countries.
I was on the road since I was 16.
I've done my share of bad things. Also, your share of bad things.
We know that using Workday for finance and HR makes you great at your job.
That don't make you a rock star.
See, so they got all these old rock stars, Paul Stanley from Kiss, Joan Jett, Billy Idol, Ozzy Osbourne, and they're complaining that everybody says, well, I'm a rock star. They said, no, we're rock stars. And I said that I get that. You know, every time they go, boy, you're a rock star. But the phrase I think that we use these days is you have a superpower. If you want to say somebody is extraordinary, you say they have a superpower for this or that. And then we asked you what your superpowers are. That's how we got to the superpower conversation. 216 said, for 20-plus years, a group of friends and I attended the NCAA March Madness games in person at various sites across the country. Boy, what a nice thing to do with your friends for 20 years. One of the friends' superpowers was that he could tell you who we saw play in what city, the year, who won, the score of the game. It's unbelievable. And 262 said, hey, John, my superpower is to find faults in others. Signed, Carl in Pleasant Prairie. I think that's pretty cool. People who are able to recall specific details. I have the opposite of whatever the opposite of a superpower is. I'm the black hole of that kind of information. Some of you are pretty good at it. Where are you on the scale of 1 to 100 on that kind of recall, Eric Zorn? Are you pretty good at the details?
Recall, I would say I'm about 70 on a scale of 1 to 100 on recall.
Good. You're pretty good. When we do the Mincing Rascals podcast, you really are quick to remember the name or the detail on some topic. It's very helpful to our conversation.
Yeah, I'm no Heather Sharon, though. So
she is good at that, too, from Channel 11. This is Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the weekly newsletter with commentary and comedy and funny tweets. You can search Picayune Sentinel online or just email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll add you to their list. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, and I appreciate you saying that because every time I'm on your show, some of your listeners write to me, and I add them to the list, so I really appreciate that. You know, my superpower is that I know how to make too much of not very much. I make too much of things.
Like what?
I can take a small thing like this snowplow contest, name a snowplow contest, and I can turn it into this long diatribe about how Chicagoans are stuck in the past. That's just an example of my suit. If you rip open my shirt, you see on my chest a big M for makes too much of things.
MTMOT, which is my superpower. I can take phrases or sentences and then give you the first letter of each word in that phrase or sentence in rapid order.
Anagram man.
I guess that's me. But here's what you said, and I thought it was interesting. I didn't even think about it, that the reference points for the seven snow plows we named, Mrs. O'Leary's plow, Da Plow, Salter Payton, Sears Plower, none of them are real current, are they? They all go back a ways.
They all go way back. And Mrs. O'Leary's plow goes back 152 years to Mrs. O'Leary's cow, who was falsely accused of starting the Great Chicago Fire. Da Plow is a play on Da Bears, which was the catchphrase of the Bears superfans on Saturday Night Live 32 years ago. Of course, Salter Payton, he retired in 1987, and he died in 1999. Sears Plower refers to a 14-year-old name of the Willis Tower. The song Sweet Home Chicago for Sweet Home Chicago was written in 1936. Holy Plow refers to Harry Carey, who called his last game for the Cubs in 1997 before he died the following spring. And Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Shovel refers to Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable, who moved away from Chicago 223 years ago. So everything is in the past. And the, and voters turned up their noses at Lollapalooza, which I thought was great. Chance the Scraper, which I thought, again, refers to Chance the Rapper.
I don't know how that one did not. How did that not get in the top seven? That, to me, was top three.
I have no idea. I like City of Big Shovelers. That didn't win either. a little Dibby was kind of funny. And Oplow Winfrey was good, even though Oprah moved out of town 8 years ago. But I just was noticing how all these names really reflected being stuck in the past. However, I will give points to Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Shovel, since that whole idea of renaming Lakeshore Drive for Du Sable was a controversy just a couple of years ago. And Sweet Home Chicago is an anthem for the city and it's always fresh and new. So those just were okay.
And I wanted to add this. This is a tangent, but about Du Sable Lakeshore Drive. Remember how upset we were about that, about everything, about the reason, about the politics, about the length of it, about the fact that there's already things for Jean-Baptiste Du Sable, etc. And now we don't even think about it. We don't worry about it. Our lives are no richer or worse. And we say, Du Sable Lakeshore Drive. There it is.
We do. I think a lot of people still say Lakeshore Drive, and as someone who makes too much of things, I'm perfectly happy to. I'm perfectly happy to have picked over that story greatly. I hear it all the time on traffic reports. What I objected pretty strongly when they renamed the Spaghetti Bowl, the Circle Interchange, for Jane Byrne. Yeah. I thought this is never going to happen. No one's ever going to do it. And in fact, what leads the way with that and what does change it is the radio, the traffic reports on the radio. Your traffic people will say the Jane Byrne Interchange, and that has changed the way everybody refers to it. And I hadn't really considered that I thought people were going to be like they are with the Sears Tower, for instance, or Willis Tower, or with Waveland Golf Course, and say, I'm never going to change. I'm always going to call it this. But ultimately, as time goes by and the news reports keep saying Jane Byrne Interchange, and they'll keep saying Du Sable Lakeshore Drive, people are going to start thinking of it as Du Sable Lakeshore Drive, and that's how change happens. It happens through the media. So
I think when I call it Lakeshore Drive now, it's me being passive aggressive. I can say Du Sable Lakeshore Drive just as easy. It's kind of like me calling it Comiskey or the Sears Tower.
And Comiskey, right?
And I think it will be part of my problem with calling it Comiskey is I don't remember what the new name is, but I remember Comiskey, so that just kind of works for me. I don't have your 70% recall.
Yeah, I go with Sox Park on that.
Yeah,
just because it's guaranteed rate field now. It just feels like, why should I contribute to their advertising? There was some controversy about how we should refer to the Senior Bowl. It was one of these football games, and all these bowl games have our sponsors that go before them. You know, like the Tostitos Senior Bowl, whatever it was. And there was a question like, why do the media have to go along with that? Why do sports sections have to use the brand that goes on top of the name of the Rose Bowl, the Peach Bowl, whatever bowls they are? And why don't we just say Sox Park rather than Guaranteed Rate Field? But
okay, Boomer.
Yeah, I know. Griping about. I'm making too much of it. That's what I do.
Well, there are some things that are worthy of your attention, not that these aren't, but maybe are more important to the rest of us, like what's your assessment of the mayoral field right now as we get closer every week to the election and then almost certainly the runoff? And also, I know you had something to say about a pet topic for a lot of us around town this week, and that is AMC Theater is adding a surcharge for the better seats. Real quick, Eric, where are you on the mayoral field? I talked to Laura Washington yesterday. She was writing about Willie Wilson's comment that we should hunt the bad guys down like rabbits. I asked her if she felt that any of the mayoral candidates, she said there is a serious issue here. Willie's going in the right direction, even if his language is bad. I asked her if she thought that any of the mayoral candidates would be a game changer when they came into office. She said no, she didn't think so. Do you think that there will be a significant difference in the lives of Chicagoans, one candidate to another?
Yes, in the lives of Chicagoans, it would depend on how well they manage the city council. But if you look at the proposals of like a Brandon Johnson, who's the CTU's candidate, he's got a very aggressive, very progressive agenda for changing the tax structure, changing how we allocate money, how we police the city, and so on. I think he would really change things in a lot of ways. In contrast to how Paul Vallis, for instance, would run things. I mean, from what you said, it sounds like Laura was saying it doesn't make that much difference who's elected mayor.
That wasn't the main thrust of her piece. She was more talking about the fact that we have crimes that are persons of color on persons of color. Willie Wilson is a person of color, and his son, of course, was murdered in his own home. So he comes by this conversation, honestly. I'm trying to remember exactly, what her many points were. But when I asked her if she thought that one candidate would change the crime situation in the city, like overnight, would it be dramatically different? She felt no, not one candidate is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, probably not dramatically so, but I think they definitely have different approaches, different
yes.
ideas, and
yes.
that are worth weighing. One thing that I've noticed, first of all, I really recommend people go find that Laura Washington column. I thought it was really interesting, and she was saying some things that, as an African American woman, she could say that I think that that I could not say, for instance. And it's just fascinating to read. One thing that I've noticed is that Mayor Lightfoot has come out and said that she wants to face Paul Vallis in the runoff, because there's almost inevitably going to be a runoff after the election on the 28th. And I think that she is not being candid with us. I think she does not want to face Paul Vallis in a runoff. Vallis is the only white candidate in the field, and he's running on a strong law and order message. She's really been going after him, trying to undermine him based on comments that he made a while back, saying that he's basically a Republican. And that he is personally opposed to abortion. Now, I don't hold his abortion position against him. I don't agree with his position on it, but I don't think it matters what the mayor of Chicago thinks about abortion. Generally, and he's committed to a pro-choice agenda. So I think Vallis's position there is okay. But he did come out and say that he feels like he's a Republican. He said this a while ago, but it was recorded, and it's part of TV ads that are going up against him, that Mayor Lightfoot is behind and Chuy Garcia is behind. They are afraid of Paul Vallis, and I think that that's showing it. But I do think that this city is basically a blue city, basically Democratic city. It rejected Donald Trump overwhelmingly. And Vallis is running with the support of the MAGA crowd. I think he's got some traction, but I don't think he's got enough to win the mayor's race right now. But I'm still liking him as a predictor. If I'm going to predict on this race, I'm going to predict Vallis is going to be in the runoff, and I'm not going to predict that Lightfoot's going to make it for sure. I'm not sure. I don't know who's going to come in second. I know Brandon Johnson's getting a lot of support.
Yeah.
Chuy Garcia has some, but I don't sense a lot of Chuy enthusiasm out there. And again, it's all anecdotal on my part, but the polls are that I've seen, and they're all over the place in terms of how reliable they are. But they seem to suggest there's this top tier of candidates with Chuy Garcia, Brandon Johnson, Paul Vallis, and Mayor Lightfoot. And I right now I'm not sure at all that Mayor Lightfoot's going to be in second place and make the runoff.
I'm looking at the IZQ Strategies poll, which we talked about yesterday and just came out. Paul Vallis, 25%. It's an unaffiliated organization, IZQ Strategies. And they've got Paul Vallis, 25%, saying they would vote for him. Brandon Johnson is in second place, according to this poll, at 15%. Lori Lightfoot, 12. Chuy Garcia, 12. Willie Wilson, 11. So Lightfoot, Garcia, and Wilson all at 12 or 11. Brandon Johnson just ahead of them by 3. And then 10 points better than Brandon Johnson is Paul Vallis.
Yeah, that seems like it makes sense to me. I do sense that Willie Wilson is getting some traction. I don't think he's going to get enough traction to make the runoff, and I can't imagine that he would be elected mayor. He seems to be a well-meaning person. I don't care for his policy positions on crime. I don't think he thinks things through very carefully, and I don't imagine that he would win that race. But I think Vallis is has got this kind of nerdy quality to him, and he has this background where he's run things. He ran the schools here, he ran the schools in Philadelphia, he ran the schools in New Orleans. and he's kind of wonky. And there's a sense, I think, that people have that they want somebody who is wonky, who maybe can get along with people. And this is the Tribune editorial endorsement for Vallis the other day talked about Mayor Lightfoot's inability to get along with people. And they say, that she has not said she plans to operate to create more and firmer alliances among the roiling constituencies that make up the city. She doesn't see the need. And they think that she is not fully reading the moment. And I have to agree. I was really a big supporter of Mayor Lightfoot's 4 years ago, and I feel like she's been a disappointment. So I hear that from a lot of people who voted for her 4 years ago, that they just don't know that they can go back and support the way she's been doing things.
Vallis presents in his TV commercials, which, as you know, is 100% of how I consume my candidate information, as sort of a sober, you said wonky, boring enough guy. Like Lori Lightfoot is entertaining, right? I mean, she's hot, she's coarse, she's unusual in many ways. Willie Wilson is a kind of a character. It would seem to me like Paul Vallis stands in contrast to some in the field of like, let's just get a good solid administrator in there to run this thing and be done with the drama. And that's kind of the feel I get from him. I don't know if he's doing that on purpose or if he even is that way, but I think people are receiving him that way, Eric.
Well, yes, I think that's true, and I think he would have been governor of Illinois if he had not been afraid to fly back when he ran against Rod Blagojevich in 2002. He's afraid to fly, and so he wasn't campaigning downstate. And that was the one of the takeaways from that election. And he narrowly lost to Blagojevich in that primary. And I think he at that time affected that affected. I mean, he presented as a serious, say, wonky, nerdy kind of guy who had sort of had chops. He knew how to run things, and that's what people voted for the nice haircut with Rod Blagojevich and the over the top promises. But I feel like I talk to a lot of people who are uncomfortable with some of Alice's opinions, with some of his alliances with the police union and so on, but they still think that maybe he's the guy to lead us through the crime problem in the city, and he's the one who has the best head for the budget. And I understand that. I don't necessarily feel it, but I certainly understand it. These are a lot of people who voted for Lightfoot.
We're out of time now, but you will see, if you haven't already, a lot of guilt by association references or ads by Lori Lightfoot with Paul Vallis. And that's maybe something that we'll talk further about on the Mincing Rascals podcast. And then we'll get to your views on the charging people more for the better seats in the movie theaters. Eric, you, I presume, are against that.
I have got some strong feelings about that, and we can talk about it at the Mincing Rascals. I'll look forward to it.
That's Eric Zorn. You can subscribe to his Picayune Sentinel. Just email ericzorn@gmail.com, and he'll put you on the list.